last time we talked through just how do we approach scripture and ways that we are focused on connecting with scripture. And one of the things that we discussed, which is how the reader interpreter, which is us, we are the third party. And the factors that have pushed us to become the third party, meaning the person looking into the conversation going on between the person that wrote the scripture and the person that received the scripture, the sender of scripture and the receiver of scripture, and the three factors that we discussed: time, language, and culture. This is a quote by Hayes last time, and Hayes says this: the third party interpreter must assume the identity of both the sender and receiver and read the document from these perspectives. The third party interpreter first assumes the role of the sender, then that of the receiver, and out of this imagined situation tries to understand the communication between them. In other words, when we put ourselves or thrust ourselves into a story in which we haven't tried to understand what the sender or the person that wrote the text and the receiver are doing, the dance that they're having, the conversation they're having, we can intrude on it in a way that might be damaging and not help us understand what's going on. Hayes and Holiday continue, this requires the interpreter, third party, to search out information or use informed imagination about both the sender and the receiver and their situations. When the content or form of the document is specialized, unique, or ambiguous, this process is even more necessary and imposes greater demands. So, let me stop sharing my screen real quick. So I think that it's important to understand that there's always going to be some interpretive lens that we use going to the scripture. And last time we discussed how there's these tension points, so the old school way of viewing scripture versus maybe the new school way, and John's more focused on the more modern way, and I'm trying to do the more postmodern way of interpreting scripture. And I want to reemphasize that it's not about picking one of those lenses and saying this is right and that's right. That's not the goal. The important part is understanding that someone has written this text and we're trying our best to understand where they're coming from and what they're talking to and who they're talking to and why they're talking to. So before we continue, I have some questions for you, which I'll share right now. And we can just share this out loud. There's no need to go into breakout rooms. What is the purpose of biblical interpretation? What do you think the purpose is? And why do you personally study scriptures? So you can unmute, and I'd love to hear some feedback on this.
The purpose of biblical interpretation is to understand God's word and what he's trying to tell everyone or us.
Okay. Understand God's word and what he's trying to tell us. Okay. Any other thoughts?
For me, the reason why I study the Bible is that I try to understand what God has to tell me. And I try to understand, like through it, I try to understand who Jesus and God is. And then the purpose of the biblical interpretation helps me understand those two things more accurately.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I have an answer. The Bible says to rightly divide the truth or the, I can't think of the exact word, rightly divide the scriptures, but anyway, my point is, I think that unless you understand what God means by rightly dividing the scriptures, then you cannot answer that question, which is, what is the purpose of biblical interpretation?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. To rightly divide scripture. What does that mean? Yeah. Okay.
I think what's the purpose of biblical interpretation is, well, for one thing, I don't want to think of the wrong thing or misinterpret it or and just make things worse. Because then I just become incompetent and just make things, you know, I'm not much of a productive person or disciple when it comes to that. And so hence, that's why they said these scriptures to get more insight. So.
Sure. Okay. Great.
Yeah, I'll add, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead, Trenton.
In terms of biblical interpretation, I think it's understanding for me the mind and the will of God correctly. And then why do I do and study the scriptures is so that I can apply it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think these are all great answers, and
I've got a each scripture. Kind
of hit on. What's up?
I've got a scripture on that.
All right, share it.
Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." Which basically is pretty much what Mike said. It's what all of us said, I think. Is so that we could follow it. You can't follow something you don't understand.
Right. Right. Yeah. And again, like I said earlier, how we approach the text makes all the difference in the world. And there's a quote here by Joel Green, who's a biblical scholar at Fuller Theological Seminary. And he says this, "The slogan that has driven critical study of the biblical materials, read the Bible as you would read any other book, however helpful and well-intentioned, cannot on its own promote a reading of the Bible as scripture. This way of engaging the Bible cannot sustain the people of God." In other words, the Bible is not just another book. If it's not seen as a sacred text in which God has tried to communicate and he sent his message to his people, whether it's to the Israelites and then whether it's to Christians, then if that's not how it's seen, then it will not be helpful in engaging the people of God. There has to be more than just reading it, like reading another novel. And despite our best intentions, biblical interpretation, especially in modern day academia, has become more about reading the Bible as if it were another book, forgetting that the purpose of reading scripture wasn't just to study the scriptures like the Pharisees did, right? And the teachers of the law did, but to come to Jesus and have life. So again, just to reemphasize that this is why we're doing it, and this is what the tools can help us do. So, all right. So the study of scriptures and the, yeah.
About your question about why do we, whatever it was, and why do you interpret the Bible?
Yeah.
Scripture. Taking it further, other than what I said, God wants us to love him, and the scriptures explain that the way that we love God is by obeying his word. So right. God wants to be loved, and what that means from God is that we obey his words, because that is how we love him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Obedience to God is a sign of love, and we can't obey something that we don't know. That's exactly right. And even further, there's two principles I think that help us do what you're saying. One, the study of scripture in this course rests on these two principles. One, I think the pursuit of truth demands academic excellence and intellectual inquiry. So we use our God-given minds and rational reasoning. So I think that's kind of what you're hitting on there, is how do we connect with God? How do we use our minds to obey his word? And I don't think it's good enough to just say, all right, well, just tell me what I need to do and I'll do it, right? There's an ability to read and interpret scripture, which is why many of you guys are in this class. So we want to further that and deepen that. And we can always grow in our understanding. And then number two, I think the ultimate reality, which we'll call the truth, it lies in God, which reveals himself through scripture, who reveals himself through scripture and in the person of Jesus Christ. The integration of learning and faith is a lifelong enterprise, and this course is a necessary step end that journey. So in short, I think John and I would say this. Our goal is neither to coerce you to believe in biblical interpretation, nor is it to dissuade you from it. Rather, it is to encourage everyone to pursue the highest intellectual and ethical standards in the investigation of the Bible wholeheartedly. So how do we connect our mind and our rational thinking with our heart and our emotions so that we're inspired to actually live out the gospel? That is our goal, and that's what we want to accomplish. So to begin this, I want to start with the exercise that I think will be helpful. So I'm going to play a video, and it's a song. Well, hopefully it works well, actually. I haven't really tried it on Zoom because we haven't used Zoom in a while, but I think it should. So I'll play the song, and then what I want you to do, you're listening to it, you listen to the words, and just like I said earlier, there's this concept, right? We have the sender, someone who's sending it. So in the song, it's the person who has written the song, and they're communicating the song, they're sending it, they've made the lyrics, a lot has gone on for them to create the song, and they're trying to share that song with people who are receiving it. Now, let's just assume that we are the receivers in this, for this analogy. And as you're listening to the song, I want you to kind of write down what you think the purpose of the song is. Why do you think they wrote it? Do you feel like there's any scriptures perhaps that relate to some of the phrases in the song? Where did they get it from? Did they steal it from somewhere? Or did they borrow some stuff from scripture? And so we're going to basically practice quickly some biblical interpretation using a song, and then we will use scripture later. But I think that's an interesting way to start. And then we'll come back, and then we'll just do breakout rooms, and you guys can discuss, and then we'll talk. Have a good one. Sound good? All right, so let's see if it works. I got to optimize my video. Okay, here we go. All right, so it should work, but let me share my screen with you. Desktop 2, optimized for video clip. So, if it does not work, you can just message me and let me know. Because I can't see your screens when I share this.
Say the word and there is life. Say the word and dead bones arise. Every star in and hangs on your voice. For your word never returns void. Speaking to this heart of mine, all that I am for creation, hanging on every word that you've spoken, it will not be shaken, clinging faith to all your promise, hanging on every word that you say. To this heart of mine.
already. So hopefully you are taking notes. If you weren't taking physical notes, hopefully you take some notes in your heart. So we're going to break into groups, and then, like I said, we'll spend some time discussing what are some things you felt like the lyrics indicated. Where do you think the senators were getting stuff from? How were they trying to communicate it? What was their main message? So we're just going to interpret that, and then we'll come back, and we will discuss, and then we'll move on to something else. All right, so I'm going to open the rooms. What's the name? The name of... Oh, well, so this is a... I've intentionally kept all of that information away from you. So we'll talk about it after we come back. But with the information you just gotten, what's your best understanding of it? Make sense? So imagine you're new to scripture and you're like, oh, someone reads scripture to you and they don't tell you the book it's in, or they send you something and you read it. You're trying to figure out, oh, where is this? You don't know any of that information. You're just reading the text and trying to figure it out. So don't Google it. Just trust me on this. We'll talk about it later. All right. Any other questions before we break out? No? Okay. So we're going to do four rooms, so there should be at least two people in each room. And if there's someone not in the room, just let us know. All right.
Oh, already. So it's the two of us, eh? Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to, if you want to join a room, each person has two in the room. One room has three, so.
Who's Samsung SM?
I don't know.
Hello, Samsung SM.
They just joined their room. Okay. So.
Well, they're using Ezekiel 37, and they're using Isaiah 55, and they're using John 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the primary metaphor is hanging on, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about hanging on to your words, but also clinging on to your promises. So they're kind of similar metaphor, hanging on, clinging on. Yeah,
they use a couple different, they try to pull different places from different places in scripture. That was interesting. How are you doing today, John?
I'm a little tired. Got up early.
What was going on yesterday, last night?
Oh, we did a Bible trivia night on campus.
Oh, nice.
We had a pretty good turnout. It ended up 93 to 92.5 to, I don't know, 87, so... It was a virtual tie. That was good. Three teams. So, and I threw in a few non-Bible things like, who's the president of Ukraine? Stuff like that, just because some people don't know any Bible at all. We got people there who know absolutely no Bible at all. Zero.
As in Ukraine, funny.
All right, here's one. Which is the highest-selling video game of all time? Do you know that one?
Video game?
Yeah.
Can I get two guesses?
Sure.
I think it's probably... Like, is it like a... Can it be a computer game, or is it just a game console?
I don't know. I don't even know the difference between those two.
Like if it was like, I don't know... I would say probably like Minecraft or Tetris.
It's
or
Minecraft. Like Minecraft.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to know what Minecraft is, and I don't even know what it is. I've never seen it.
You don't know what Minecraft is?
How would I know? I haven't played a video game in 35 years. I mean,
it's been around longer than that.
No, it's not.
Really?
I haven't played a video game since before you were born, I would guess.
Wait, let me look up Minecraft. I'm pretty sure... Oh, maybe I'm thinking of something else, actually.
Maybe it existed, but even then I didn't play it.
No, it came out in 2011. Never mind.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so for me, it's like, it's been around forever.
Your whole life.
But that's very... Yeah, I remember Minecraft. I didn't really like it, but I'm pretty sure Tetris is more popular than Minecraft.
It is, okay. Well...
I would say, my guess would be Tetris.
All right.
But, How Minecraft about, is, you know, pretty interesting as
how
well.
How about Grand Theft Auto? Or what's the one where they're always shooting each other? What's that one?
Grand Theft Auto, yeah.
But there's that other one. They're always shooting each other also. The multiplayer.
Call of Duty?
Call Halo? Of Duty, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, but I don't think Halo and Call of Duty is that high. It's popular, but it's not. I don't know if it's been sold that much. Yeah, it's crazy that Grand Theft Auto has been...
Two out of three groups got that one right.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto is a terrible game, I guess, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, it's not a great game. It's not a great game.
Because it sort of glorifies being the bad guy.
Exactly, exactly.
Great.
Yeah.
Really good for our youth, you know.
I know. It's cringy, cringeworthy. Yeah. But Tetris, it's been around forever.
That's, yeah. I think I might have actually played Tetris. So it must have been around for at least 25 years, otherwise I wouldn't have ever played it.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be good at Tetris, actually.
Too slow.
All right, I'll bring them back in a minute.
Good.
Let me see. Let me look at my slides. We discussed this. Textual criticism.
Are you coming to a meeting about the teachers' conference?
Is it on Zoom or in person?
I think it's on Zoom. I think it's today. Are you on that committee?
Oh, yeah. I told Steve Hiddleston that I will start coming to meetings at the end, after my PhD.
All right.
Finals are over.
When's that?
2 weeks.
Okay.
Because we have the conference is until what, like August or something?
Yeah, end of August, early September, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I told him that if you want me to be fully engaged, then let me get through the PhD and other obligations first.
This is a semester, not your thesis, correct?
Yeah, just a semester, and then I have a break until the fall. So.
Wow. It's a long break. Mm-hmm.
I know. I'll take a class still, but it won't be like heavy, heavy stuff. We're doing quantitative or qualitative research, and it just takes a lot of time.
Okay, they're coming back.
They're coming back. Still haven't figured out how to share my screen and see people at the same time. Not sure why. Oh, it's because I'm optimizing for video clip. That's why. There we go. When I don't click that, I can see people. Yeah. Okay. How is the video quality? It's pretty choppy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just Zoom. You can't get around it. It's unfortunate.
I don't normally do videos, so.
Yeah.
All right. They're back. There's Amy, Caitlin.
Okay. It's good. Waiting for a few other people.
I'm really curious if you're going to trick us, because instantly a scripture came to mind, and then I'm like, a love song that has nothing to do with the Bible.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your opinions, and we'll discuss. So hopefully that was fun, breakout rooms. John and I were talking about it. Sorry about the video quality. There's only so much you can do on Zoom to get the video to translate well. But hopefully you're able to hear the words.
Yeah, the audio was pretty good. Yeah, it came on in. I think that's most important versus video and audio. Audio is more important, so it came up.
Right. Okay, that's good. I'm glad the audio was good. So, I would love to hear your thoughts right now. What do you guys think? The song? What were they trying to communicate? What was their intention? You're trying to figure out what was the purpose of why they sang the song, what they're trying to communicate. So anyone want to share?
Okay.
We got like four scriptures out of that song.
Alright.
That we could think of. So like, say the word and there is light. We're thinking like Genesis 1:3.
Okay.
Say the word and dead bones rise. Ezekiel 37:5-6.
Okay.
Hanging on to every word that is spoken. Hold to my teachings. John 8:31.
Okay.
And then speaking it will not be shaken. Psalm 16:8.
Oh wow. Okay.
Wow.
Very cool. So basically you're sharing how the authors of this song, right, they were able to take some scriptures and use that to help them communicate their songs, most likely, right? I don't know. I've never talked to them before. Maybe they didn't do that, but that's most likely. Okay. Other thoughts.
Yeah, I was gonna say kind of the main thing that they were communicating was to cling and to hang on to God's word with every part of their being. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the scripture of Deuteronomy 6 where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, like every part of you. And in John 14, I don't remember. I lost the scripture, but it basically talks about if you love me, you will keep my commands. So that was kind of, that's what I got from it. It was like, it's not just listen to God's word. It's not, or just like understand what it means, but cling to it and, right, and hang on to it with every part of you. And I think, you know, it's not pure scripture what they said, because obviously there's some things that was added on there, like billion skies and things like that. Yeah. But usually those lyrics, you know, it comes from their own mind and thinking to help emphasize the depth of the message of the song.
So right.
That's what
well
I thought.
Well said, David. Other thoughts?
So our group talks about a few things. Mainly, they shared about the importance of the Word of God and how important it is to connect with God through the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then thought of the scripture, Isaiah 55, about, you know, rain and snow don't fall without watering the earth, and God's Word doesn't, you know, go out without accomplishing its purpose.
Yeah.
But then I also think, she could be singing about, since we don't have those other information, mm-hmm, she could be singing about someone proposing to her when she's a mountain, and I will never forget your promise, you know? Like, you don't know. You don't have enough information to interpret.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Some people say that some of the best love songs, right, could also be worship songs to God. So.
Yeah, that drives me nuts.
It'd be difficult to ascertain what the difference is, though. So. Okay, any other thoughts? And then John will share too. John had some good thoughts, and then I'll share and give you guys more information.
Well, we're talking about a couple of different things, but one was that it just seemed like she was trying to emphasize the passion for the word of God.
Yeah.
And kind of reminded us of what David said in Psalms, where it says, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God.
Yeah.
And I think that's what she was trying to bring back, was a passion for the word.
Yeah. Well said. So that was good. That was, you know, before Mike shared, it was a lot of, okay, here's what scripture said, you know, here's what they're drawing from. And Mike's like, okay, what about the passion? What about the heart? What did you feel, right? And earlier we talked about how interpreting scripture isn't just trying to understand what was said in a clinical sense, but what were they feeling at the time? And it's hard to know that, but you have to use your imagination, and music helps us do that as well. So I think that's what music does. So well said, Mike. I was hoping someone would say that. I'm glad you said it. John, you had some thoughts as well.
Not that much to add to what's already said, honestly. The principal metaphor was hanging on or clinging on. And that's more of, that's not so much the clinical obedience. It's more like she wants to live a life that's depending on God through the scriptures. And so, yeah, it's a very emotional song, which is an interesting combination because she's got all these scriptures about, you know, the Bible and obeying it, all that kind of stuff. But really it's about living it and depending on it, I guess.
Yeah.
Rather than obeying it necessarily.
Right. Yeah. Well said. So let me share some of the lyrics with you so you guys can see it in writing. So the song is called, Say the Word. It's called Say the Word. And, it was written, what year was that? In 2016, by a group called Hillsong.
Oh, yeah.
The musical group. If you know anything about the church right now, they're going through some tough, it's been tough right now for them. But as far as the group, I believe they're still intact. And it was, I looked up some research, or I researched a little bit about the song and just kind of why they wrote it and all that stuff. And the heart behind it was to communicate that, I think John said it well, that there needs to be this dependence on God. And without depending on God, we are nothing. And how do we depend on God? Well, he has these words, he's got these promises, and rather than just listening to it, reading it, interpreting it, and doing away with it, I'm going to listen as if I need to rely on it with my life. So, hanging on every word that you've spoken, it will not be shaken. Clinging for life to all your promise. These are some of the ways that they communicated. They used their background to help us understand what they think the word is saying. And even there's a part where she's saying, it is done, right? And she, I don't know if you guys remember that part. It was a crescendo. They built up to that point where she sang it and she gave her whole heart in singing it. And there's more emotion in that moment. I think that was able to match what they hoped that Jesus was going through when he said, it is done, right? So these are all things that I think we can use to interpret, and even just this conversation. We spent the last 10 minutes talking, and this isn't even scripture, right? So the idea is that when you interpret scripture, there's so many tools, there's lenses, there's things that we can use to help us bring it to life. And why do people love music? Because it comes to life for them. They feel something, they think something, they understand something, they connect in a way that helps them be like, oh, I remember that song, right? And I think scripture can be just the same way, if not better, actually, because it's being communicated by God, who's trying to help us understand his heart, his love, ways that we can approach and live out his word. And once we get that captivated in our hearts, we memorize it like a song, right? If you guys think of your favorite song, it's just there. It's instinctive. It's natural. And then you can use it to help us actually change our hearts and help other people change theirs. So this is from St. Augustine, and then I'll close here. I'll give you guys an overview of what I'll talk about next time, which will be next week. But I'll close here before we take a break, and then John comes up. He says this: dear student, whenever you are certain about something as I am, go forward with me. Whenever you hesitate, seek with me. Whenever you discover that you have gone wrong, come back to me. Or if I have gone wrong, call me back to you. In this way, we will travel along the street of love together as we make our way toward him of whom it is said, seek his face always. In other words, biblical interpretation is a dance. It's not completely scientific. It was never intended to be that way. It's a dance between us and God, sender, receiver, and other people, as we try to learn and interpret and go on this journey to seek God and understand God and connect with God. So as we do this, there's got to be humility. There's got to be patience. But there also has to be clarity, and there needs to be straightforwardness so that we can continue to move our way towards God. So with that, next time I come back, which will be next week, we'll talk about some of the tools like textual criticism, and I will use that song to kind of help us figure out, you don't have to read the slide. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I'm just previewing it, but, I'll do that to help us kind of connect ideas. For example, a lot of you guys brought up scriptures today and you use the scriptures to help you understand the song, right? They took it from somewhere. So that was what we would call tradition criticism, which we'll talk about that next time. But the idea is there are aspects of what you've done with the song, which we will do also when we approach scripture. And you did it naturally, right? I asked you what you think, and then you just did whatever you did, right? So all we're going to be doing is categorizing these things so that when you approach scripture, you're like, I know what I'm doing. I know I'm doing textual criticism. I know I'm doing traditional criticism or whatever type of criticism that we'll discuss, whatever biblical tool that we're using. And once you know that, then you can have confidence in saying, okay, I'm using a lens to approach scripture. This isn't the only lens there is, but this is going to help me understand scripture a little bit better. And then, so we'll do that moving forward, and the intro is over now. We're kind of going into it, and we'll use examples, and then we'll get feedback, and it'll be a lot of that moving forward. So, okay, any final words before we take a break, and then John will come up. Any final words? Nothing? We're good? Give me a thumbs up if you guys feel like, okay, I'm ready for a break. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back at 9:55, so about 10 minutes.
Sounds good.
Okay, see you soon.